Okay, so I just want to begin by just making a couple broader points about Chazar Ashir before we really dig into the material. So first of all, this is going to be a little bit of an atypical Chazar Ashir because the first sugya wasn't, let's say, a typical one because it wasn't everything fleshed out. It wasn't some mahalach that united all the information. It was kind of different mini topics with Ha'arot. It wasn't some broader topic, some broader mahalach. But we figured, those who are Gedolim V'Atzumim, including Rav Rosenzweig, thought it was worthwhile to do a Chazar Ashir on it just, for guys who we thought it would be beneficial. So that's the first thing. In general, Chazar Ashir will be a little bit different, as you'll see next week. Second is a comment on Chazar Ashir. Chazar Ashir is not meant to be a reviewing shir in the same outline or order that shir was actually delivered in. It's also not meant to cover everything. So that means, looking at the shito sheet and your notes, because Chazar Ashir is really meant to give a structure. It's not really meant to cover everything meant in shir. And then, in general, I'm going to try to integrate. I wrote my senior thesis on Rosenzweig's methodology, so I have what to say about the matter. So in general, I'm going to try to integrate some methodological points about it. But for this Chazar Ashir, it's not so relevant. But in general, I'm going to try to do that. And then just another comment about Chazar Ashir. So in the past, there used to be this guy, like when discussions got a little too long in Chazar Ashir, he would just clap and say, "Go on." So the idea, we won't do that. But the idea behind it was that Chazar Ashir, in order to be clear and a good summary and review, when they're sidetracked by questions, it makes it harder for guys to really follow it. And so for that reason, I think the general advice has been that the types of questions that should be asked in Chazar Ashir are not further Ion questions, right? That's not really the time for it, although that can be discussed outside, and I'm certainly welcome to that. But it's really, let's say clarification points. I said something wrong or unclearly, and you just want to make a small clarification. That, the type of question you can ask, but like broader Ion questions, like, how does this make sense? So then we'll probably try to leave those for the base medrash. Okay, so with that, I will, let's actually begin. So we began this year with the topic of Heter Achilas Basar. So what I'd like to do is review this topic, both to frame the major issues we addressed, but also to provide some insight into why we discussed this topic at the outset of the Limud. So I want to basically ask 8 different questions, and you'll see as we go through it the 8 different sort of topics. So the first is the topic choice and the connection to Shechita. And why are we looking into this topic when our real goal is to discuss the mitzvah of Shechita? So at a very basic and simple level, Shechita is about halachic meat consumption. So therefore, it is relevant to begin with the discussion of the history of meat consumption. That's one. Two is, on a second and more fundamental level, right? The reason to discuss Shechita is because we're trying to, as you saw in the subsequent shirim, we're trying to really understand what is the nature of Shechita. Should it be understood more narrowly as some sort of technical requirement? Or is it a process that's symbolic of Kedushas Yisrael? And that we haven't fully hashed out in Shir yet, but we will in the upcoming Shirim. And so that's what we're discussing in our current sugya. And now what we want to understand is, how does the new permit to eat meat, the permission granted to eat meat, how does that impact the way we view Shechita? And this is a little vague. It's a bit hard to pin down exactly how this would go, and it can go a number of directions. So, for example, if you view the Heter Achilas Basar as a demotion of man and a man's limitations, what are you going to say about Shechita? So clearly it has some impact on the question, but it can go either way. Does it mean that Shechita is a compensation for man and now we're trying to make up for the lost holiness? Or is that it's just a matir for an unfavorable process or something of that sort? And the reverse, if you view it as a positive evolution, does that mean, now it's part of this Kedushas Yisrael process? Or since meat eating is really not so bad, Shechita, maybe it won't be as big of a deal. So the point is, it's not as easy to pin down what way it will go, but it will have an impact for how we view Shechita. And the evidence for this can be, and this is demonstrated by the Ramban's gratuitous references to Shechita. So just to give two examples, or really two of the two primary examples, the Ramban in Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Tet, so he says when he's referencing the Achilas Basar, he says, Uva'avur Noach Hitzel Mehem L'Kiyum HaMin, Nasan Lehem Rishos, Lishchod V'Le'achol. And the Ramban integrates Lishchod into the Heter Achilas Basar, where seemingly it's not necessary for him to include it. And elsewhere, he also does this, in Bereishit Ted Vav, this is Atak Asher Amar Ba'adam She'yishchod Ha'ba'alei'chayim. So again, the Ramban integrates Yishchod into the Heter Achilas Basar. So we see clearly it had some impact. Clearly, Shechita was a major importance in this transition. But you know how exactly we define that is not necessarily so clear. Okay, so let's dig into the Isser itself, right? So we have in the Psukim in Bereishit, it's clear or it's implied that there's an Isser to eat basar. So Aleph Chaf Tet. So it says Vayomer Elohim Inina Tati Lachem Kol Esav Zorei Azara Asher Al Pnei Kol Aret Kol Ha'et Asher Bo Pri Eitz Zorei Azara Lachem Ye La'achla. So what's not included here? Meat. You're not allowed to eat meat. And then in later on in Perek Tet by Noach, the Torah states Kol Remes Asher Hu Chai Lachem Ye La'achla. There, the Torah permits eating meat. And so now we're faced with the obvious question, and this is really the second section, which is, what was the reason or purpose of the Isser Achilas Basar? So we mentioned six different explanations in Shir. The first, and this is a really interesting shita, was so as to give a reward to Noach. This is the opinion of the Radak. So he says that really meat should have been mutter to Adam, but since Hashem knew what would happen with Noach and the Teva, he wanted to give that as schar for man for saving animals, and so therefore he sort of made an isser beforehand in order to reward him. But for the Radak, meat eating was always meant to be part of the plan. Two, the Gur Aryeh writes that it's about the preservation of the species. So he writes, "Mipnei shechasa kadosh baruch hu al behema, shem yochal basar hayu ochlim kol habehemo." So if they would have eaten meat, they would have eaten all the animals. And so, really, for him, it's about preservation of the animals. It's a siyag in order to do so. The third was of the Maharam Shik, who discusses that it was an issue of bal tashlis. Why? Because there was a sufficient amount of fruit available that killing animals was just unnecessary in order to be satiated. Four, and this is a little bit unclear whether he means it physically or spiritually, but basically the Maharam Shik says it's not good for man. He says, Mishum tivei ha'adam lo haya tov lo le'echol basar. So I think that likely means like just it's not good for man. It's not, I think, not physically, but it's unclear. So it could be either spiritually or physically, but bottom line, it's not good for man. That's the fourth option. The fifth option, and this is quite prominent among the Mefarshim, is the issue that man and animal were too much on the same level. And this can be formulated in a number of ways. The first is the Ramban. So the Ramban basically describes how animals have an elevated status, and since they have this elevated status, it would be sort of inappropriate for man to have eaten them. And what are those, you know, the milos of animals? So their instincts lead them to self-preservation, and they know they can choose what to eat. And so this gives them a status of a creature, right? It's not just some chefza, it's a creature, right? So originally, there's an Isser Achilas Basar sort of out of respect for the animals, milos. Now, the Sizeh HaChamim had a particularly strong formulation. It's pretty shocking. So he says, Lefisha kodem haya adam v'behema shavin, they were completely equal. Kula maisa Hashem, yisra min adama, v'ein lezeh yisra min alzeh. It's like, oh, maybe he doesn't mean it literally, and then he just continues. Oh, no, there's nothing, they're exactly the same. Lama yamesa echad as chavera, they're equal, they're chavera. Why would you say one is greater than the other that they could kill it? So Rav Rosenzweig said that this Sizeh HaChamim has to be qualified, right, because it's clear that man was the purpose of the creation, and that he held dominion over animals, right? B'kiv Shua, So really, what is the Sifrei Chachamim saying? Regarding Achila, man and animal were equal, but obviously, broadly speaking, the purpose of creation was for man. Our sixth explanation that we mentioned was that there's something cruel, or the word that used is achzari, about eating meat and spilling blood. And this was the opinion of the Sefer HaYikarim. It's also, or Rabbi Yosef Albo, it's also the Abarbanel references this idea as well. So the Sefer HaYikarim writes that killing animals was prohibited in order to cultivate proper mido. It's meant to cultivate a personality that's totally against or distant from the type of azarias or cruelty of killing or spilling blood. He says, "Azarias chamav shetav af lima tuchuna ra'a la'adam lishpoch dam chinam." There's something wrong with spilling blood. Okay. Now the issue we're going to face is that, and we'll address this in a second, which is for all these explanations which are so against heter achilas killing animals, then when there is a heter achilas basar, what exactly do they do with that? So we'll address that in a second. A good parallel for this is the Ramban's discussion of Kan Sipur, which is a much longer discussion. But essentially the main idea the Ramban proposes is that Kan Sipur is for man to cultivate rachmanias and avoid azaria. So it's a similar idea. Someone had a hand. Yes.
Could you please repeat the
Sure. So the Sifrei Chachamim is really strong in that he keeps sounding as if they're equal. They're equal. You know, man. And so Rosenzweig's point was that's too strong because it's very clear from the Psukim that man has dominion over animals to work them. You know, the Psukim say v'kivshur or dubadagas hayam. So it can't be that they're actually equal. So the Sifrei Chachamim needs to be read in light of those, this other information, and really similar to the Ramban, that it's about, you know, they had similar attributes in terms of, you know, having Ismailos, and that's why man couldn't kill animal. Yeah.
Two questions.
Sure.
One, you were saying what the Kansipur is the comment. What you said about Kansipur was the comment of the Ramban.
Yeah, that was a whole interesting thing because Ramban there is advocating for Tami Mitzvah, you know, as opposed to the Rambam. But yeah.
So we're using that Ramban to explain the Sefer
Yikarim. So we're saying this is another reference to an idea of an interaction with animals that would be azarias, and we're trying to avoid that.
And also, according to Ramban, you said that about animals having an elevated status.
Yeah.
What changed the post-model?
Excellent. So that's our next question. So just hold up for 1 second. So our third question is, what changed that precipitated the heter basar, heter achilas basar? So what changed between Adam and Noach? So here we can point to 5 different explanations. The first, just returning to the Radak, is that nothing really changed. Noach was just rewarded for something that was anticipated all along. So this is a really interesting shita. And sort of this notion that this is always anticipated is, you know, is strongly in contrast to a few shitot. We'll focus on one, which is the Avudraham. So the Avudraham quotes Rav Asher Milunil, and who asked, why don't we say Bore Chayas Haaretz for eating meat as opposed to shahakol? And he answers, at least in the first answer, was because the original purpose for animals, the original, you know, for the creation scheme, was not about consumption of animals. They weren't created to be eaten. And this is obviously the opposite of radak, right? Animals were always anticipated to be eaten for radak. This is the opposite for the avudraham. A related issue is the issue...
At least what the purpose was.
We'll get to that in a second. There's different different explanations. So a related issue is the issue in Rashi about the purpose of Behema. So this comes up in 2 Rashis. Rashi Sanhedrin Nun Vav Amud Bet says that you can't eat Eiver Menachai because a living animal isn't food. Rather, it's really meant to produce future generations. Rashi's lashon is de behemah chaya eino medet la'achila ela legadel vlados. What is the purpose? To be legadel vlados. However, elsewhere, and those who were in Bava Kama last year Rosenzweig made a point to say in this line they discussed. So elsewhere, Rashi says that an animal is omedet la'achila. So Rashi says in Chulin, he says, shebechayah hi omedet la'gimel devarim, la'gadol vlados, ula'charisha, ula'achila. Those three things. Now, the Cheshek Shlomo points out this seems to be a stira, because Rashi, one place, seems to say that part of the purpose of animals was for achila, whereas Rashi elsewhere seems to say that it was totally not for achila. So the Cheshek Shlomo thinks you need to amend the girsa in Chulin to change it from la'achila to l'chaliva. Now, Rosenzweig says that there was no issue within Rashi here, and this relates to what we just discussed, this debate between the Abu Draham and the Radak. And he says that Rashi in Sanhedrin, the one that says it was for the purpose of the god of Vlados, that's referring to the time of Adam HaRishon. Whereas in Chulin, it's referring to the time of Noach. And basically, this would be another example of viewing this process, of this perception of man, of animal as food, having changed from Adam to Noach, like the Abu Draham, in contrast to the Radak. So that was our first answer. Second, there was the Kli Yakar. So Kli Yakar says that since Noach was Osek BaTorah, Hutra Lo. And the difference between Adam and Noach was that Noach was more of a Torah personality and deserved more of an elevated status compared to the animals. Now, Rosenzweig really liked this pshat because he thought that when people are more committed to a spiritual life, then you can have the more physical elements be integrated into it once you have this context of a spiritual life. That was more of a side point. The third explanation was that of the Ramban and the Sifsei Chachamim was that due to Noach's zuchut, because of Noach saving the animals, right, he was granted the heter to eat them. And so for the Ramban, it's not really an advance or decline in civilization, but what is it about? It's about the internal relationship between animals and man, and that changed.
Yeah. Does the Ramban also make a point to mention that the Ishkas called the behemoths were Mashkas Darkam al Haaretz? So doesn't that make it sound like in addition to Noah saving them, right, and that's was Mashkas, but also the fact that they were immoral beings also affected?
Oh, interesting. Okay, it could be. Yeah, I mean, the point I think here was that it's not that man was demoted or elevated, it's just because of this, man was given this hat there, but it could be that, I think it's a good point, that it could also be, it seems like maybe the animals were also taken down a notch. Okay, yeah, Zach.
So I read the difference between the Radak and the Ramban. The Radak is saying that really, like, the meat was always much of the, like, now, tribe presented with the
Yeah. From the outset, there was this anticipation. Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it.
Who said the third point that you said about the Rashi? Solving the Styrian Rashi, who said that?
The first one was the Cheshek Shlomo, and then Rosenzweig was the second suggestion. A fourth possible explanation is that of the Abarbanel, who writes that it was mutter because it was necessary for Noach and his family to subsist on. And so Noach and his family came out of the Teva to essentially a barren world. There was no food to eat. So because of that, meat became permissible in order to since it was necessary in order to survive. And then meat became permissible for all time. It's very interesting. Barbanel, should take a look at it. He says very strongly, he says, Yamusu berav, since they would have otherwise died of hunger, hitchalahem achilas basar. They were granted permission to eat basar. That's a fourth explanation. A fifth explanation, and this is something Rosenzweig mentioned a lot, I haven't found a good, clear formulation of it, except for in Rosenzweig Devar Torah himself. So there has to be some parish, I just haven't found it, maybe someone has, making this point, but Rosenzweig spells out what he thinks pretty clearly in a Torah Web article, so we should take a look at. It's not really exclusively about this topic, but he mentions it. So I'll just even read the quote. It says, the cumulative evidence, so basically the idea is that there's a negative transition. Man has gone down in status. Man is no longer able to not eat meat or something. So now man has gone down in status. So it's just negative transition. So he writes that the cumulative evidence makes a compelling case for the view that the second creation reflects man's limitations and Hashem's disappointment. A little later on, he says, man's lower ambitions and aspirations no longer justified such dietary restrictions. The world was indeed reconstituted, but on a different basis. Now, I thought that actually this would be an opening for another shita. You know, we won't get into this. Right? Rav Kook discusses vegetarianism in some places. So I thought that maybe he might fit this box of that. You know, this is the demotion of man to be eating animals. This is a downgrade. So I have to look back at that Rav Kook. But I think like you definitely have this stream of thought. I'm just not sure which Parshan says it explicitly, unless Kaz has one. He says that, yeah.
He says that basically we've downgraded ourselves in the sense that, like, we used to be able to recognize the difference between man and animal without the Hadrachim Lippur. We basically use the Hadrachim Lippur because we lack the understanding of the difference between.
Oh, okay, great. So that could be a. Yeah, I don't think we mentioned that part explicitly this year. Yeah, right. Okay, great. So that could be a potential source. That's Gimel Tedvav?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Awesome. So make a note of that. And returning to what I said before, these views, this fifth perspective would fit very well with the notion that there is something fundamentally wrong with eating meat. Right? If you think something fundamentally wrong with eating meat, it makes sense that really this could be a demotion of man. Good. That's section number three. Section number four. What is the scope of the Isser to eat meat? So on one extreme, the Rabag and the Netziv suggest this within one explanation of the Gemara, for one sheet in the Gemara, they argue that there is no Isser. There's no Isser to eat. There never was. There was never an Isser to eat Basar. This is clearly against the predominant view in Chazal, or the view in Chazal. So the Rabag sort of Michutz HaMarechet, also Rav Rosenzweig's problem with it was that if he thought God was reevaluating the world, and that his problem specifically about eating meat, what about the whole Mabul in the first place? So he took issue with the Rabag. That's worthy of mention. The second perspective here is that it was only prohibited to eat meat that was Neharag, that was killed. And here we can point to a couple different perspectives. So the first is Rashi. Rashi's a little tricky to nail down. So Rashi says, "V'lo hirshe la'adam li'ishto l'hamis birya u'l'echol basar." So Rashi makes a point of emphasizing l'hamis birya, and also they weren't allowed at l'echol basar. So does that mean that only when it's prohibited l'hamis birya is prohibited? Or more broadly, and at the end he said, "Shabo beno chicha l'ham basar." It doesn't mean, but he doesn't say explicitly basar that was nerag, right? Chicha l'ham basar. So it's a little unclear in Rashi, and the Mefarshim there take different perspectives on it. The Gur Aryeh understands that Rashi meant that the issue was killing animals, and since it was usher to kill animals, eating any type of meat was prohibited. So Gur Aryeh very simply is saying that Rashi does not say that the only prohibition was for eating meat that was killed. He thinks it was all meat. In contrast, the Sifsei Chachamim argues that Rashi meant only killed animals, but if Mesu Me'elaha, if it died on its own, it is fine. We can find further evidence for this approach in another Rashi, in Sanhedrin Nun Zayin Amabet. Rashi writes, "Ubau b'nei Noach v'hitir lahem l'hamis u'la'echol." And Rav Rosenzweig points, yeah, this kind of sounds like Tosos, which we'll mention in a second, right? That lahamis la'echol, specifically, he permitted them to kill and to then eat. The most clear or most explicit formulation of this perspective is, of course, Tosvo. Tosvo writes that there never was an isser of achilas basar per se. The isser was only to kill the animal and then eat it. If you found a carcass of a dead animal, go all ahead. It's totally mutter to eat it. So the Yadarma also has a dea that, like this, like Tosfos, but rejects it. And he rejects it because he believes that if the whole issue was killing the animal, the Gemara should have focused on that and not the issue of, or isser of, eating meat. And so what is the Ramah assuming? What's underlying his approach? That the focus of Tosfos is on the Isser to kill the animal and not on the Isser of eating meat. So there's nothing inherently wrong per se with Achilas Basar, Rather, what's the issue? The issue is with the harigas of behema. The Kli Chemda also makes a similar claim that the problem lahamis birya, that's the way he describes it, is the issue was lahamis birya, asorach adam. Now, Rav Rosenzweig disagreed or thought there's another way to understand Tosfos, and he argued that Tosfos means the issue is not about the killing, but it's eating meat that came from hariga. And so the mechanism, the way in which you change a behema from a creature to a chefsa, to the basar, is important. And so how it sort of met its fate will relate to how you view it now. So do you view it as a chefsa shel basar? You came along this mesu mela, it's just this chefsa shel basar, what you see is all it is. Or is it an extension of the living animal? And so if you killed it, he was, you know, Bessie, oh, this is, you killed it, this is the living animal extended to now. I think he used the formulation of this is like a walking or a living Iver Menachai or something of those lines. Or, no, sorry. What? Oh, a producer of Doros, yeah. So but basically the point is that for him, it's not about the killing that's the problem, it's eating meat that was killed. A posthumous Iver Menachai. Excellent. That was a formulation. Okay. Yeah. Now, it's interesting to consider what the scope of this allowance would be, because Basar Shemesu Mela is clear, Basar that was killed is clear, but by yourself is clear. What about Basar that was killed by others? And what about Basar that was killed by animals? So that we'll get to in a little bit, but just keep that in mind. Now, the third view is that all meat was prohibited. Right, so we have nothing was prohibited, we have only Basar Shenerag was prohibited, and now we have all meat was prohibited. So the most famous proponent of this approach is the Rambam, who thinks that all meat was prohibited. This is not explicit in the Rambam, but it's very clearly implied. The Kesef Mishnah notes that the reason why Eber Menachai was given to Noach was because it would have been entirely redundant or superfluous to give it to Adam, because if all meat was prohibited, of course, part of meat or an animal would be prohibited. So that's the Kesmish, and other Nosi Kelim also make the same point. And therefore, he says, Lo hayat tzarech letzavoso al Eber Menachai. There's no reason to dictate to Adam to not eat Eber Menachai, right, because it would have been superfluous. Another proponent of this idea that everything was prohibited is the Yad Ramah. And the Yad Ramah says that there was no Isser Meforash, but all the creations were usser unless they were given a matzah. So there's no isser per se, there's just no heter. And the example he uses is, I hope I wrote this down. Oh yeah. So ein lo rishus li hanos mishel rabo, achito rishus hemen. You can't just start taking things unless you have some sort of permission. So there's no isser, but there's no permission to do it. Now, the nafkamina he raises of what the difference is between whether there's no isser Mefurash versus just there's no heter is Misa. So you can't get killed on something that's not a Isser Mefurash. Now, the Kli Chemda interestingly connects that to Kol Nana Olamazev without a bracha Kilu Ma'al. Gemara and Brachas, I think, Daf Lamed Hey. Maybe made that up, but I think it's about Daf Lamed Hey. Yeah, Lamed Hey. Okay, we have some people with Bakias here. You know? Okay. But Rosenzweig actually tried to interpret it, said that the Yad Ramah meant there's no lav, right? But there's also no heter since there's no matir. And so therefore there's no chiyav misa. It's essentially the way I explained it originally, unlike other explicit Yisurim, which were mentioned to B'nai Noach. I sort of biased you with the original, but that's a Rosenzweig's explanation. Okay. Now, the Ramban's shita, yeah, basically the point is that there's no isser or heter, it's just there's no matir. That's the Rosenzweig's thing. I don't want to get too far into that. Now, the Ramban Shita, it was debated. We didn't really get into why they had the different views, but the Ramban Shita is debated. The Kli Chemda believes that if it died on its own, it's mutter, like who? Like Tosfos. But Rosenzweig believe that for the Ramban, all basar is aser. Okay. So those are the three perspectives within this fourth section. The fifth section, and here's where it's a little tricky, which is, so what are some nafkamino? Yeah. The Shitas. Oh, yeah. Rosenzweig said that his understanding of the Shitas Ramban is that all Basar was Asr, like the Rambam. I think that relates to the way, you know, we, I don't think we've necessarily fully developed it yet, but I think that's going to relate to his broader mahalach of the Ramban. Okay. The fifth section is, what are some nafgamino between the different opinions about the scope of the Isser? So here we can point to two different nafgamino. The first is the Mishnah in Kalim. Who wants to take a stab at this? Anybody brave? Okay. Go for it. Yeah. What's the issue in the Mishnah in Kalim?
The Mishnah in Kalim says that on dates 4 and 5, the things that were created on 4 and 5 of creation, it just says in Botoma.
Yeah.
Machlokas on what is.
Well, and what about the first day?
The first day is talking about water.
And it is Makabel Tuma.
Right, so the context shows we're talking about things which are Makabel Tuma. So we are trying to figure out what exactly are the things that are in Botoma. So the Rambam thinks it's the animals themselves.
Exactly.
And the Rash, he's motivated by this question he has on the Rambam of, what do you mean an animal can't be Makabel Tuma? Have you ever heard of this thing called Tumas Oflin? And again, we're talking based on the context of things that are Makabel Tuma. So he says, what rather is the Mishnah talking about?
And what else is Tumas Oflin?
Or
Mayim, right? Mayim is, you know, also, yeah, go ahead.
So he says, so he comes up with a different answer, and the things which are Makabel Tuma are the Kalim created from the animals.
Exactly.
The animals themselves could be Makabel Tuma.
Excellent, good. So the issue is, just to summarize, that's perfect. The Mishnah in Kalim basically says on the fourth, fifth day, there was no Tuma. That was clear, there was no Tuma. But on the first day, there is. The first day, Mayim, there is Tumas Ochlin. Fifth day, there's animals, which also should have Tumas Ochlin. But for some reason, for the Rambam, they're not considered to be a Kabbal Tuma. So Kli Chemda, the Rush, who's one of the Balei HaTosfos, thinks that the Gemara is referring to Kalim made out of it, or the Mishnah is referring to Kalim made out of it, not the actual animal. Now, Kli Chemda suggested what I believe to be a really interesting explanation, is that this is Lishitasam. For the Rambam is all about that there was never any permission to eat basar prior to Noah, from the time of creation. So since it's across the board, the animal was not allowed to be eaten. It's not a chefza shel ochel. There's no tumas ochel. It's not a chefza shel ochel at that point. It's an actual isra achilas basar. So there's no chefza shel ochel to have tumas ochel. Whereas for Tosfos, there is. Right? For the Rush, there is. Because it's a chefza shel ochel. There is a concept of an animal being able to mekabel tuma because basar shemesu me'alaha, you can eat. So that's one nafkamina. Okay. A second nafkamina is that of the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes the following issue. So anybody, what does the Gemara in Sanhedrin describe? Nintet Amud Bet. Yeah? Oh, so it does discuss Eir Menachai. This is a bad question. What does it discuss in terms of, that's related to Tosfos' issue of what type of meat can you eat? Yeah, Kira. Excellent. Exactly, right? So the Gemara, I'll just read it briefly. We have time. So the Gemara says that Haya Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema Omer Adam Rishon Mesa Began Eden Haya V'Hayu Malachi Ashares Solin Lo Basar. So Malachi Ashares would have meat for him. It was Sanin Lo Yain. So then the Nachash got angry or jealous. But what is this case that he was able to eat meat, right? Why do they sold no basar? How could he eat meat? So the Gemara says, Hasan b'basar yored min hashamayim. What are we talking about? Basar hayored min hashamayim. So whose shita does this work best for? Right, the shita that holds, it's usher to eat meat, right? Because what the premise of the Gemara's question is usher to eat meat. That's a simple. So now, there are a few different explanations for how you can resolve Rishitas HaTosfos. And so really the point here is not we care less about how to resolve the Gemara, but the way in which they try to resolve the Gemara, their nuanced formulations reflect their understanding of Tosfos' Shita. So was it only if it died on its own? What about if other animals or other human beings killed it? So the Ran there very explicitly states that it's okay to eat meat if other animals killed it. One second. So if another animal killed it, it'd be totally fine. So we see how to understand Tosfos. If maybe if another animal killed it, it is actually mutter to eat as well. The issue, the Ran explains that what's the issue of the Gemara, because if he was allowed to eat in Nevela, so the Gemara says that, you know, oh, of course, the premise is, of course, it wouldn't, Malachi Asharis wouldn't have given Adam a Nevela to eat, Chas Shalom. So therefore, the it says, oh, you know, given him Minas Shemayim. That's the Ran. We care less about the answer to the question. It's more about what is our Fleta Ashita as a Tosfos. Second answer is the Maritz Chayos, who suggests that maybe the Malachim could have killed the animals. Right, very interesting. Right, he assumes that would have been okay according to Tosfos. And so if others, and then what does that say? Meaning if others killed it, then it would be fine. Now, why can't that be an option in the Gemara? Because he suggests that maybe it's a form of, it would have been a sort of a form of shlichus of some sort. And that would be aser. I should have the formulation. So he says, it would have been something on his behalf that's usher to him. So I think the way we understood it was that this doesn't reject what we just said earlier, that for Tosfos, if someone else killed it, you wouldn't be able to eat it necessarily. It was just saying how here in this instance, it might be an iser, might not been allowed because they were doing it ba'avuro. The alternative would be that it's not ba'avuro, that any time someone else kills it, it would be considered to be ba'avuro. But I think that's a little less plausible because, like, let's say they had no idea who it was. They just killed an animal left on the side of the road. Whereas here, the malachim are killing it for Adam, right? That's what I would think, or would have been killing it for Adam. Yeah, okay.
Is it possible to make a valid between malachim killing it?
Yeah, I think so. But I think the way that we are reading it, or one way to read it, would be that it's shedding light on Shitas Tosfos, but I agree with you. You heard his point, meaning, okay, Malachim, the story of Malachim, you know, sort of a godic, it's how do we deal with this Malachim. But at the same time, the Gemara is raising it as a real question in this discussion of Isser Achilas Basar.
Right, but it could be that Malachim
was less than
a day
long. Okay, all right, so I think it's open... Okay. All right. So I think it's a reasonable point, which is like how much to take this is literally how important Malachim are for a context of regular Adam. I think that's something to make note of. Okay. The third explanation or answer to this is the Marsha basically understands, you know, why did it ask the question on this Gemara, which is why didn't the Malachim just collect animals which died on their own? Now, what does that mean? Why does that have to be animals that just died on their own? If we hold like the Ran or maybe the Maritz Chayos that if other animals killed it or if someone else killed it, why does it only have to be animals that died on their own? So therefore, what does the Marsha hold? So it seems like if the animal was killed by another animal, that would also be a problem, in contrast to the Ran. I have the Lashon. So, the Yishlar came into Mesu Me'eleha. So, since it died Me'eleha, so earlier he says, this is really the answer, but you got the same idea, that the Mesu Me'eleha, that's the only case. And what is his answer? That why wouldn't the Malachim have done it? Because, who Davar Tameh, it's a Davar Tameh, Batida Torah, the Aser, lo hayu, it's asking about Malachi Asharis. It's going to, eventually, though, it's going to be Tameh, the Malachi Asharis are going to deal with something Tameh. So that's the answer to the Gemara. But here we see what is the scope of Tosfos's position with regard to the Isser. Is it just only animals? Is it only permissible to eat animals of Mesu Me'eleha? Maybe it's permissible to eat animals. That's the Marsha. Maybe it's permissible to eat animals that were killed by other animals. That's the Ran. And then perhaps, according to the Maritz Chayos, that it'd be permissible to eat animals that were killed by other people. And again, Kaz's point I think is relevant, which is, well, you know, Malachi Asharis, what exactly is going on there? Okay. Yeah.
According to the Marisha, is the Svara for why you only had to eat, you know, if it's actually Mesa Me'eleha, the same Svara we would say that Rosenzweig mentioned for Tosfos himself, meaning if another animal killed this animal, we still view it as a living animal, like it's still Bessie even after the wolf came in.
I think of Rosenzweig was saying that these explanations could all sort of work with what he was suggesting. I think the point is that, like, I think that was one of the advantages of his position. Okay, so now we're up to a new topic within here. So this is section number 6, which is the Isser of Eiver Min Achai. So what is the source for the Isser of Eiver Min Achai? Right, that's the section number 6. So here we have a bit of a machlokas. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so the first possible source is the Gemara, is the Pasuk in Bereishis. The Gemara Sanhedrin says achol tochel, from that achol tochel below eiver min hachai. So that's one possible source. The Gemara Sanhedrin nun ted amibet suggests that the source is actually different. The source is ach basar benafsho damo lo tochelu, and Rashi picks up on that there, and he says basar benafsho. So we have a debate between the Gemara and Sanhedrin Nun Vav Amud Bet and the Gemara and Sanhedrin Nun Ted Amud Bet regarding what is the source. Nun Vav Amud Bet is Achol Tochel. Nun Ted Amud Bet is Ach Basar B'Nafsho Damo Lo Tochel. And Rashi also says this could be the source for Dam Min Hachai. Okay. Now we move to section number 7. Yeah. Okay, so the... So here, I kind of intentionally avoided that discussion because I think basically there's this whole debate of the relation between Nun Vav Amibet and Nun Ted Amibet. For the Rambam seems to rely on Midrashim, the Nitziv, Rosh Bash. So we'll put that aside for now. But there are clearly these two potential sources here. That is clear. Well, I mean, it's clear. I mean, at least Rashi understands it, right? The Sanhedrin Nun Vav Amibet, Achol Tochel, Velo Eiver Min Achai, Sanhedrin Nun Vav Amibet. And then Ted Amibet, I'd say at least as a potential source, Rashi says, Basar B'Nafsho, the Pasuk in Tet Dalet, it's Asalem Eiver Min Achai. So there's clearly two potentially different sources. Or maybe it's one's a reiteration or whatever, but we have two potential sources. I think that we could say, but your point is well taken that we have to sort of understand whether these Gemaras are arguing or not. But I'm leaving that aside for now. Okay. Question number 7 and section number 7 is, what is the nature of the Isser Eiver Min Achai? So here we suggested or proposed two different possibilities. The first is that it's a remnant of the original Isser Ba'achilas Basar. This also would fit well with the suggestion of Rotzweig made about Nevela being a remnant of Isser Achilas Basar. And the Sifra and Shmini, which a little hard to read, but it's the way we read it is that it implies that a Behema Tamea might be a remnant also of the original Isra Achilas Basar. The Ran is the clearest formulation of this approach. The Ran says, "Kishehiter Basal of Neinoach Nishar Isra Eiver Min Achai B'Mekomo Milasho Nachol Tochel Nishar Isra Eiver Min Achai B'Mekomo." Very clear. Right, it's an extension of the original Isra Achilas Basar. Now, the other possibility is it's sort of a new independent Isser. So here, it's a little hard to parse. I'm not sure if the Abarbanel is exactly saying this, but the Abarbanel's idea is that there's a Midah of Achzarios here. And so he says, "Ulfisha b'harga v'achayim l'achilasam yilmadu Midas Achzarios." So since now that they allowed man to eat basar, he says, Also, Lehem Eiver Min Achai, now that they had this new permission, he made this prohibition of Eiver Min Achai, Shu Achzarios Yoser Gadol. This is ultimately the pinnacle of Achzarios. So I'm not sure, it says, V'amr Apas Abanashav Damalo Tochelu. Now I'm not sure if the Abarbanel is saying that, oh, this is an extension. Well, it seems like, oh, this is a new thing, right? That's what it sounds like. Right? Because he says, since now they have this new reality, now there's this new Isser, Also Lehem Eiver Min Achai. But I think it could also be read, if we want to read it more narrowly, you're saying that this whole idea in the first place was an Isser Eiver Min Achai. Was the Isser to eat meat was about Achzarios. And so now that we don't have that anymore, we still have this notion of Achzarios, and that's Eiver Min Achai. So I'm not sure which way to read it, but I think it's possible that it's a new independent Isser. But either way, those are clearly the two ways we suggested and shared. Now, what might be a potential nafkamina for this between these two perspectives. So we'll get to that at the end. You'll see in a second. So the Rambam has a very peculiar shita about shchitas, about Oph. Sorry, not shchitas, Oph.
Well, yeah? This is the eighth question?
Yeah, sorry, very good. This is the eighth section, the eighth and final question slash section. So the Rambam Melachim Tet Yud Aleph writes, Ha'Oph, Yireli is always very important because it comes from his global conviction, his global understanding, not because he has any source for it per se. She'ein Benoach Nerag Al Yivir Menachai Mimenu, for an oaf. So what about eating oaf Abraham and Achai for a Ben Noach? So he says, the Rambam says that they are not put to death because of it. The Ravid strongly objects to this. The Ravid says, nearly she's a Tau Sofer. This is a Tau Sofer. It's a misprinting. And it should be Verharilios Aval Asheret. It can't be oaf. It's absurd. Now, we saw three different explanations for this, and this will close. The Radvaz basically formulates this question. He says, why Israel is chai for Abraham and a chai for Oaf, but not a Ben Noach? And so he says that this is really based on Machlokas about whether Oaf is Bechal Basar. You can look at the specific sources he quotes, but he said the details. But he says, essentially what he writes is that we hold like Rabbi Akiva, that Oaf is Bechal Basar, and therefore Yisraelim are chayav on Oaf. But what about a Ben Noach? So Ben Noach can claim that you hold like that sheet, I hold like the other one. So Kimli Karabi Shimma Gamliel, they could say Kimli Karabi Shimma Gamliel to Op Lohabi Bechal Basar. This is a fundamental debate. They hold that Op is not Bechal Basar, and we hold that Op is Bechal Basar. So pretty good schmack, you know, a really fundamental debate. So that's one possible explanation. The second explanation was in a tziv, which suggests that the Rambam holds the Makor for Avraham and Achai isn't Achol Tochel, but Basar Demo B'Nafsho Lo Sochelu. And so if the Makor would be Achol Tochel, then that would seem to be all-encompassing, the Nisiv argues, and that would thereby include Oaf. But if the Makor is Basar B'Nafsho, which is more narrow, that wouldn't include Oaf. So that could be where the Rambam is coming from. The third and final explanation, this will close, Rav Rosenzweig suggested, and this relates to our chiluk, he suggested that the more we think of Abraham and Achai as a remnant of the original Isser, which was everything, right, then it's more likely it will include Oaf, which was Aser Bachila then. However, the more it is a new kind of standalone issue, or Isser, then it's possible that we can limit it only to Chaya and Behema. And now what he said is that there might be a chiluk here between Klal Yisrael and Bnei Yisrael when it comes to the question of whether Avraham and Achai is a remnant of the original Isser, or it's a new standalone command. So perhaps for Klal Yisrael, it's a remnant, right? It's a remnant, and therefore the remnant of the original Isser is everything, Oaf included. But for Bnei Noach, it's a new standalone command. And that might explain, this difference in the Rambam. Now, I was discussing this with Natan earlier about why it has to go this way as opposed to the other one. But I think it's just it fits, right? Like this is a way of explaining it. If we think it's a new Isser, then it could be more narrow, and that's why Bnei Noach did it. Yeah, Zach. Yeah, where's that lashon? He says, "Yeah, I didn't write the full. Do you have the full halacha?" Anybody have the Lashon? Yeah, I got the Lashon of the Rambam there. Tet Yud Aleph, I believe? Tet Aleph. Okay, but I think the... just to review, I think the point is that everyone's saying that this is could be a manifestation of the... a more practical manifestation of this... chiluk between what it was the Isser of Avraham and Achai all about. Okay, so we will stop here. Next time we'll pick up with the mitzvah of Shechita and what's that all about.